Thanks, Gavin. Morning, guys.
Lovely to be with you again today as we look at friendship with God. So this is Friendship with God Part 2. We did start Friendship with God Part 1 last week. Is there such a thing as friendship with God? And if so, what does it look like? We saw that intimate friendship with God is reserved for those that fear Him, who respect Him for who He is, the omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent Creator. If you're wondering what that means, omniscient means all-knowing. That's who He is. He knows all things. Omnipresent means He is present everywhere at the same time. And all-powerful means there is nothing that He is not capable of. So that fear is not a fear, it's a deep, deep respect for who He is. It's that simple. You know, when we look at a word, we need to say, well, what do we mean? That's what we mean. So some people fear God, not in a good way. We need to fear God in a healthy way. So it's maybe a better way of saying it is a healthy fear of God. But, amen, but if you missed that preach, please download it. It is on the Josh Chen website. So today we're going to talk about how God knows you intimately and that He wants you to know Him intimately. And I'm super excited about that because there can't be any greater relationship than you'll ever have. And I'm trusting that by the end that you'll be even more excited about the opportunity that is presented to us to know God as a friend. So John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the purpose of much of Scripture is, if not all of Scripture, is not just that we will have eternal life, but is also that we will know Him. And again, as I said, when we look at the word know, it can have different meanings to us. What do we mean by know? And it's different. What this means is that the Greek is gnosko. It means that it's not that you know of Him. Gnosko means that you know Him by experience. So as many people know of God, but perhaps few know Him. And some of you, just to illustrate that, some of you I know of you. We have new visitors with us today. So what are their names, by the way? If the visitors don't mind, what are your names over there? Bev, Stephanie, and James. Welcome. Lovely to have you with us. So I know of Bev, Stephanie, and James. I know of them, but I don't know them yet. And I hopefully if they stay and continue to visit, I'll get to know them. For those of you that have been here a while and working on it, getting to know everyone, but some of you, I know you because, why do I know you? Is because I've shared your thoughts. You've shared your thoughts with me and I've shared my thoughts with you. I've let you in and you have let me in. And that's the difference between me knowing of you and knowing you. And John 15:15, Jesus explains this. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Servants aren't let in. They don't exchange thoughts and ideas. They're just very functional. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So that is the relationship that God is calling us into with God. That not that we know of Him, but that we know Him. We exchange our thoughts with Him. Us with Him, and Him with us. He lets us in, and we let Him in. Properly. And what does that look like? So first of all, I want to say that he knows you well. You might not know him in the way I'm describing, but he knows you. And if you don't think so, how many hairs on your head right now? I mean, no one can tell. I don't even know if scientists could count how many hairs on your head right now. Some of you, it's easy. Maybe there's no hair. But just remember when you did have hair. Luke 12:7 in the NLT says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. God knows how many hairs are on your head or were on your head. So don't be afraid. And I would like to say that probably no one in the world, well, no one in the world knows that, but God knows. Like right now, he looks at every single one of you and he's got a number in his head of how many hairs or how many were. He knows each one of us intimately, yeah? Like super, super detail. And he says, you're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And we know that if we look at that context, it says that not a single sparrow will fall to the ground without the Father's permission, and that you're worth more than many sparrows. Don't think that you are just adrift in the wind. And David shares on God's knowledge of us in Psalm 139, 1 to 16. And as I get a glass of some water, I'm going to ask Donna to read it if you don't mind. Psalm 139, 1 to 16 in the ESV. And the reason we're reading this is to display how much God knows you. So I know this is David speaking, but imagine this is you, because it's the same. In fact, we looked at last week, you should be even greater than the prophets of the Old Testament.
O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there were none of them.
So, God knows us, and he knows us extremely, extremely well. And something God wants to encourage with us, he wants to encourage, now remember, I've put a basis of fear of the Lord. I said to the elders, I'm doing the tough preach last week, and I'm going to do the soft one today. God wants a familiarity between us and him. I'm not taking away last week's preach. You've got to hold that, right? Many things in the Bible are held in tension. God wants a familiarity with us that's not religious. Michael, come here. So Michael's Michael Nokia. Is he here? Michael. So Michael's a friend of mine, okay? I go surfing with him. He's a friend with him. I share my thoughts with him. He shares his thoughts with me. I don't, when I and Andrew does this as well. Andrew does a great one on this as well. For visitors, Andrew is our apostolic oversight. So I don't say to Michael when I'm just conversing, "Oh, precious friend." Valuable and incredible to me, friend. Maybe on his birthday I do. But I just chat to Michael. Sometimes we don't even talk. We just with each other. We don't have to be religious. We don't have to have this formal language. We're safe with each other. Thanks, Michael. So God wants us to have that feeling that we're safe with God, that we can just share. And this is what David's talking about is God is a safe person for you that you can come to and it's your safe place. You don't have to be all religious with him. He actually doesn't like it because that's not relationship to him. And that's not the relationship he wants. He wants an intimate friendship with you, which means you just talk. You don't have to wear your proper suit and tie or your best dress to come into his presence. He wants to know you as a friend. And one of the most startling revelations of this is there's another version of the Psalm 139, and it's the and I'm only going to do verses 1-6 from it. It's from the, we just read the ESV. This is from the HPB. Now, HPB is a legitimate translation, okay? It's the Hawaiian pigeon one. Now, it was done in 1985 by Wycliffe Bible translators, okay? So it's not a mockery. It's slightly paraphrased, but it is the translation into Hawaiian pigeon. And there's something about it that shows a familiarity with God that I feel like captures what God wants with us. And he wants to take away any religion on us because that gets in the way. And I know there's that one song, I remember Mario was saying, he listened to it on repeat all day in his bucky while he was driving around. Where's Mario? What was that song, Mario? You know which one I'm talking about, that you listen to and repeat all day. That one that just, the one line says something about, and I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. And then there's a little line that talks about, and take any religion away from me. And God just wants to kill religion in us. Anyway, HPB, it's not even on the laptop, the computer. So they made a slide especially for me. Now again, I'm not doing that. This is not a mockery. This is how a Hawaiian indigenous would speak to God. God, know me and take care of me. One David Kahn song to God for the main music guy. Hey, you're the one in charge. You check me out all the time. For see how I stay inside. As how you know everything about me. Every time I sit down or stand up, you know about all that. No matter you stay far away, you know what I think. From the time I wake up till the time I go sleep, you see where I go. You know already how I do stuff. Hey, boss, even before something come out of my mouth, for real, you know everything I'm going to tell. You stand all around me, for take care of me. You put your hand on top of me, for no letting nothing happen to me. The way you know me, blow my mind. You know me better than I know me. And yeah? So you can go read the rest because it's profound. But that's how God wants. He wants that connection with him that is speaking to him the way that you would speak to a friend. And that's how one Hawaiian would speak to another Hawaiian. So he's relating to God that way because he's realizing, and Wycliffe, Bible translators, very formalized, yeah? I think there are hundreds of years. They realized This is what God wants. He wants that heart to heart, because that's how one Hawaiian relates to another Hawaiian, heart to heart. And so Andrew does this. You know, I've heard him once say, how do we speak to God? Sometimes we've got to look at how we speak to God, because we need to show reverence. But at the same time, if he starts to see things between us and him, religious, that's not what I want. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Number two, God knows your name. Now, you might say, well, so what? When you have a revelation that God knows your name, I know it's going to mean a big deal to you. Imagine you go to the premiere of a blockbuster movie. You've been in San Clemente and you've been visiting the church there, and you get an opportunity to go to LA and they're having the premiere with the red carpet, and you're in the crowd. And a limousine pulls up and out steps Tom Cruise. Or whatever your famous person is. You can put your famous person there, okay? I'm just using Tom Cruise. And he starts to walk up to the red carpet, and then suddenly he spots you and recognizes you, because maybe he met you once before. And he goes, Joey, how's it, man? So good to see you again. How are you? How are you going to feel in that moment? Tom Cruise remembered my name. I was special enough to him that he went home and memorized my name. And I'm sure Tom Cruise met a lot of people. How much more important is God than Tom Cruise? Or any other famous person that might know your name personally and remembered your name? You are special enough to him that he took the time to remember your name. I was walking down a beach. I was 21. About to go out for a surf, and I did not expect this, and it's only happened to me once. I put my board down. I was standing there about to paddle out, and I heard God say my name. Not my formal name, which is Jose. But he said the name that my friends call me by, Joey. And he just went, Joey. And whether I heard it audibly or whether I heard it in my heart or my mind, I'm not sure. But I heard it so clear. God said my name. And the God of the universe knows my name. And he calls me by my nickname. And the God is the same with you. He knows your name. John 10:3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He calls you by name. He knows your name. And that should mean something to you. When you come into his presence, he goes, Chris is here. He doesn't go, oh, here's another saint. He goes, Chris is here. Joel is here. And he'll go, hey, Joel. It's so good to see you, Joel. You'd probably be more. It was a little bit formal. He knows your name. When you come into worship, he knows your name. And in that moment, he forgets about everyone else and he just looks at you. And he sees you individually in that moment. That's how God knows you. The real question is, will you know him? He knows you. But will you know him in the same way? Jeremiah 31:34 says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. And this is meant as an encouragement to us. From the least of them to the latest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now, we need to put legs on this, make this practical. How do you get to know someone? If I'm going to get to know David, and I think, I just need to get to David, what do I do? I pick up the phone. And I message David and I say, hey, David, want to hang out? Because I need time to get to know him. It's not just going to happen automatically. And it's the same with the Lord. We need to pick up the phone. We need to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And God introduces this concept of picking up the phone. Maybe picking up the phone in the morning or picking up the phone when you need him. And it's this thing that the Lord desires to be seeked. Acts 17:26-27. And we see purpose here in that the whole of creation was established so that you would seek him. But not only that you would seek him, but that you would find him. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. So God is wanting us not only to seek him, but he wants us to find him. And I think the reason for that he doesn't just chase us around all day, is that there needs to be desire in our hearts, or a hunger in our hearts. And Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. And I've been there, there's Donna sitting right there. If you ever fallen in love with a girl, which I still am in love, and she's amazing, and she's more awesome than the first day, and it's been 22 years we've been married, and I mean that. When you first fall in love, and for the girls with the guy and so forth, you will do anything. You will organize to be with that girl. I will move heaven. I'll be sitting around thinking all day how I can spend time with Donna. She might not even know I exist. Imagine I've just met her, but I'll be sitting there contemplating, how can I get some time with her? How can I organize things that I can suddenly come across her path? Are we the same with God? Are we so in love with God that we're sitting around all day saying, how can I spend some time with God? And that brings us back to the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your mind, and all your soul. And that we sitting here, brothers and sisters, today should be a fulfillment by His Holy Spirit helping us and empowering us and making us born again and changing our hearts, giving us a heart of flesh and giving us a desire. So He empowers us to do that. But are we fresh in that place that we are seeking Him and that He is truly like a treasure in a field? Because Donna was a treasure in a field that I found, and I would give up anything to score Donna. So, would you give up anything to score God? Because God is much greater than any human relationship we can have. It's insane. It's incredible. You might say, well, why do I have to pick up the phone first? The reason is that God already picked up the phone with us. When he sent his son Jesus, he was picking up the phone with the human race. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He picked up the phone first with you. And you were worth, and we were worth so much to him that is willing to send his son to get you to answer that call. On the other side, it's like you look at your phone and it's like ringing, and you know, the thing is God through Jesus. And if you haven't already today, have you pressed the green button? in Jesus. And if you haven't today, do it. And if you haven't taken a call from God in a very long time because you've been away from Him, come back to God today. And press that green button and answer that call. One of the problems with pursuing someone, especially in the early days, is I don't know how Donna feels about me. So I just want to chase her, but does she, and this is a cool word, is there reciprocation? That means simply, does she feel a similar way? So I'm wondering the whole time, I wonder if she feels the same way about me that I feel about her. Fortunately, she did. I want to say, fortunately, the Lord does feel the same about you. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You don't have to worry if there's reciprocation. You don't have to worry, does he feel the same way? He does. I have drawn you and he helps you, he pulls you in. Fortunately, Donna drew me with unfailing kindness. She was very kind to me. That was terrible. And that Jesus has removed the veil between us and God. Ephesians 3:12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Because I started to get a sense that Donna was feeling the same way about me, I was able to approach her with more freedom and confidence within reason. Hebrews 10:22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. We can really trust in that, huh? That our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Honestly, it's nothing we've done. Everything he's done. And therefore, let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. There shouldn't be any suspicion between us and God. There should be a sense that we're cool. You know, Jesus came, and how's this for some slang? Jesus came to earth so that we would be cool with God. We're cool with God in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, we're not cool with him. But inside of Jesus, we're cool with him. He's cool with us. There isn't like drama. The drama is on the cross. So let me land with the words of the great revivalist from up the road, an Irishman that lived in Wellington for, I think, 30 or 40 years, just up the road. And you can go see his statue there in front of the Reformierde, Nederlandse Reformierde Kerk. Imagine how hard it was for Andrew Murray. So this is from his book, The Deeper Christian Life, written in 1895, and is one of my favorite writings. So, and I'll get Donna to read again, if you don't mind.
I missed out on the other one, the pigeon English. Okay. Begin each day by tarrying before God and letting him touch you. Take time to meet God. To this end, let your first act in your devotion be a setting yourself still before God. In prayer or worship, everything depends upon God taking the chief place. I must bow quietly before him in humble faith and adoration, speaking thus within my heart, God is. God is near. God is love, longing to communicate himself to me. God, the Almighty One, who worketh all in all, is even now waiting to work in me and make himself known. Take time till you know God is very near. Accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but his beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to him. Enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives and in the assurance that in Christ you are most well-pleasing. In Christ, you are within the veil. You have access into the very heart and love of the Father. This is the great object of fellowship with God, that I may have more of God in my life and that God may see Christ formed in me.
Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful piece. So today what I really felt like the Lord say is, he said, and I didn't really plan it, when I was prepping, but he brought it up to me, is that we need to have passion for him. We need to have hunger for him. So I just wanted to give that opportunity for response. If you feel like, you know, your hunger is not what it should be, maybe it was, and maybe it's diminished, you know, that you would just stand where you are, and I'll just pray for you. We'll just pray for you as you stand that God would put that hunger, and you can start standing already if you like. God would put that hunger back in you, that passion in you, that you would realize he's picked up the phone with you already. He sent a son for you. And he didn't withhold his precious son from us. And that you haven't really, you know, because he does draw us, you know. How many times is the phone ringing, you know, and maybe it's in silence and it's not on vibrate, so we don't pick it up so easily, but God's actually ringing and we're not picking up on the other side. Maybe because we've just become cold or we become lukewarm. I really do believe that God wants to put passion back in us again. So if that's you, I just ask you to just stand where you are. And I would say to us is that study his word. Get into his word, guys. And I say that to myself. Get into his word. On the road to Emmaus, I think it is, a few of the disciples were talking after Jesus went to the cross, and they were discussing Jesus' words. And as they were discussing them, they said, how our hearts burned. Our hearts need to burn. And, you know, we say the greatest sin is whatever. You know what Andrew says one of the greatest sins is? Lukewarmness. And this comes from the scripture. I wish you were hot or cold. And I say this to all of us. Because if you're lukewarm, Jesus says, you know what he says. It's got hectic. I will spit you out of my mouth. God wants a fire in us. God wants a fire in us. So, Lord, I just pray for us and those standing right now. God, put your fire in us like you put your fire on those of old and those before us, that we can, that the reason why we stood today is because there were fire in those before us. And I pray there'll be fire in us too, not just for now, but for those, if your return tarries, that come after us, that we can pass the flame. So Lord, we present ourselves to you. We realize that each one of us is holy in your sight. Cleansed with your precious blood. There's no reason why we cannot come boldly into friendship with you, because that is your design. And you designed us for that. So help us to fulfill your dream, because it's your dream. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can you can sit again. I've got one more call. And maybe as you just sit, if you can, everyone can just bow their heads and close their eyes. And I just want to give an opportunity now for those that you, and how could we not give this call? It is impossible to meet God outside of Jesus. It's impossible to have a relationship with God outside of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It was the end of Mel Gibson's movie, and it was a very controversial inclusion at the end of Passion of the Christ. A lot of guys in Hollywood said, we don't want that in. Because that means you don't come through Buddha. You don't come through any other Confucianism. You don't come through any other ism. You come through Jesus. And the reason is because he is a holy God and he needs to remove your sin so that a holy God can engage intimately with you. Because he cannot touch sin. The good news is that Jesus, his blood, is better than any washing powder in the universe. It can wash blood out. It can wash sin out. It can clean sin. And he died on the cross, a holy sacrifice for you. And that blood, 5.5 liters, which is how much is in a human body, ran down that wood to cleanse your sin. The good news is that blood can cleanse your sin. But you need to bow the knee to Jesus and you need to say, I receive that. You need to know not of the crucifixion and of salvation. You need to know the crucifixion and salvation. And shift from of to I know it. And if that's you today and you want to say, I just want to accept that thing that Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm not 100% sure it works, but I know that he died for me. And I know you're telling me that his sacrifice on the cross can cleanse me of every bad thing I ever did so I can stand before God pure and holy and I can have relationship with him, which is what he wants and what he designed you for. And right now, you know there's a barrier between you and God and you need to fix that. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit there and kind of wait for this altar call to finish and then go out and then wander and just get on with your life? Or are you going to change your life today? And so I've got an opportunity, I've got a moment now. And you might not have that moment out there, but you've got that moment right now because I know that God's holy presence is here. And that he looks at you and he knows your name. The offer's on the table. And it's not an offer made by me, it's an offer made by God. What will you do with my son? And Jesus went through much pain and much humiliation. And some say he may have even hung naked on the cross. There was absolute humiliation because many were naked on the cross. We're not sure about Jesus, but many were just pinned up there, naked and humiliated before, like in front of a shopping mall. That would be the equivalent, next to a roadside. He did that for you. And then the question is, you know, maybe lifting your hand is slightly embarrassing, but imagine what Jesus did for you. And he says, whoever acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge before my Father on that day. So if that is you and you know you need to do business with God now, you need to repent of your sin, walk away from your sin, and accept Jesus' cleansing for your sin. Or maybe you've just been away from it and you need to repent today that you would come before a holy God and say, I accept the provision of your Son, not by anything that I have done or my righteousness, but by your righteousness. God's righteousness is on offer for you today. It's the greatest gift you could ever have or receive. And we want to respect that holy moment. And if that's where you're at, and most of us here have made that decision, and it's the best decision you could ever make in your life. There's no happier moment. It's a decision that will haunt you because it will carry you through your whole life, but it will never be a decision that you'll regret. And if maybe I can ask everyone to stand, and maybe I can do it a little bit different today. If everyone can stand, if that's you, and you know you need to repent before God and receive his forgiveness today, I just want you to come out of your chair and just come to the front, and then we will pray with you. So is there anyone in this meeting, you know you need to make that decision today. And we will clap and we'll applaud you. I just want you to come out of your seat and come stand here next to me and we'll pray with you. That God would do business with you, that he'd wash you and he'd cleanse you and begin that journey. And I know that is probably a very bold thing to do. But remember what Jesus did for you. He did an exceedingly greater bold thing for you. He hung naked on a cross, or potentially naked on a cross for you, before man. What will you do for him? Will you come stand before man and say, I receive him as my Savior today? So if that's you, is there anyone in this meeting? I just ask you to just come out from where you are and just come stand at the front with me. Anyone in this meeting, just keep your eyes closed just to make it a little bit easier for guys to concentrate. If your heart's beating and you know the Lord's calling you to come forward, then come forward. Thank you. There's two young ladies here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Is there anyone else? Just come and make right now. The Lord delights in you. He loves you. He is so ridiculously happy. All right, let's just reach out to these two young ladies and let's just pray for them right now. Lord, we just pray for these two young ladies that have just come forward right now, God. And maybe we can just pray, we all pray a prayer together. It doesn't hurt if you're saved already to pray this prayer a second time or a third time. Lord Jesus, I come before you today, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I accept your sacrifice on the cross, made for me. I accept your blood. Forgive me. Help me to follow you. Wash away all my sin right now in Jesus' name. I accept the sacrifice that you made on the cross for me. And by faith, I confess you as Lord and as Savior today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.